Two communities in southeastern Wisconsin are having a conflict over water infrastructure in the wake of the failed Foxconn development. It's Thursday, September 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, school districts face the end of federal COVID-19 relief funding. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appeals his ballot case. And we hear from an investigative reporter on how some in the Green Bay area are fighting against the expansion of large dairy farms. Stay with us.
Your place for independent journalism.
Utah has a new law which restricts which bathrooms or changing rooms transgender people may.
It's easy to pass southward into Mexico.
Do we go through the turnstile or straight?
What's hard is entering the United States.
That's Maha Hamdan speaking to NPR's producer in Gaza, Anas Baba. He spoke to her after last night's heavy bombardment.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
Racine and Mount Pleasant are facing off in a legal battle over water. As Evan Casey explains, the dispute comes in the wake of the failed Foxconn project.
Racine supplies water to Mount Pleasant under an agreement with the village. That agreement was amended for Foxconn. Recently, the city has been holding off on approving water main extensions for new developments in the village. That's because Racine Mayor Corey Mason wants to renegotiate the water agreement. He says the city missed out on promised benefits from the failed Foxconn deal.
The suburbs are receiving all the benefits of expanded water and wastewater service, but the benefits that the city was supposed to see, those haven't come.
Mount Pleasant has filed a complaint against the city over the dispute. They claim Racine has created a, quote, de facto development ban. The city did approve a few recent water extensions for the village 2 weeks ago. That includes a project that would benefit future Microsoft data centers in Mount Pleasant. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin school districts have been able to bring students everything from therapy dogs to robots with more than $2 billion in federal COVID relief funds. COVID funding flowed into school districts over the last 3 years to help students make up for learning loss brought on by the pandemic. Schools were able to hire additional teachers and create programs using the money, but that money will run out this year. Laura Adams oversees curriculum for the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. She says DPI will ask legislators to make up for the loss of federal funds in the next biennium budget.
In order to really counteract the fiscal cliff that our districts are facing with these federal funds.
As schools finish their budgets in October, they'll have to decide which programs created with COVID dollars will be cut. Ahead of the November election, communities on the Mississippi River are urging the next U.S. president to prioritize open trade. Hope Kerwin has more on the group's federal policy goals.
Mayors leading the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative called on the next president to keep the country in the Paris Climate Agreement. The global treaty is aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and community leaders say it's key to successful exports for farmers and manufacturers who use the Mississippi River. Bob Gallagher is mayor of Bettendorf, Iowa. He told reporters that leaving the agreement could lead to tariffs on U.S. goods.
We can't afford to make any policy decisions that will jeopardize the $164 billion in agricultural commodities the Mississippi River makes possible every year.
Former President Donald Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Paris Agreement while the Biden administration rejoined it. Trump's campaign has indicated he would leave the treaty again if elected. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Easing regulatory barriers for tribes to develop renewable energy projects may ease poverty on tribal lands. That's according to a new study led by researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Historic federal policies forced tribes from lands rich in natural resources, but the study found they were often left with lands most favorable for wind and solar projects. Even so, researchers say leases to developers on tribal lands are subject to federal oversight. UW-Madison professor Sarah Johnston says that's been a barrier for tribes.
Typically, you have to work with more different agencies, including the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which anecdotally can be quite slow in terms of getting the necessary approvals.
Without streamlining regulations, researchers say tribes could lose roughly $10 to $20 billion in lease and tax payments that could combat poverty on reservations. A Waukesha-based appeals court has agreed to hear a case from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's the latest in the former presidential candidate's attempt to get himself off the Wisconsin ballot. On Monday, a Dane County judge ruled that state law says Kennedy must stay on the ballot. The appeal will consider that ruling and whether it would be feasible to cover Kennedy's name with a sticker on ballots. The decision by the appeals court to hear the case comes as presidential ballots have already been printed. This week is the deadline for some absentee ballots to be sent out. A lawyer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission has argued that putting stickers over Kennedy's name would take an enormous amount of manpower and potentially gum up voting equipment. Kennedy qualified for a Wisconsin ballot in early August, but dropped out of the race just weeks later. Coming up, we'll hear about a new report on the conflict between large dairy farms and local residents. Stay with us.
Curiosity keeps your mind awake and your spirit hopeful.
There was a dream that I had. I was in a little plane flying through these flowers, in and out and through the color, and I woke up. I just had a dream about what it would be like to be a honeybee.
To the best of our knowledge brings you something new to be curious about. Join us. Weekends on WPR News.
Some Wisconsin towns are trying to prevent dairy farms in their community from expanding, but dairy lobbying organizations are pushing for the creation of state laws to stop local governments from creating their own farm regulations. The largest of these farms, Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations, also known as CAFOs, have especially seen some of the most significant growth around Green Bay. John McCracken covers the industrial agriculture meat industry for Investigate Midwest. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you talked to at least one resident specifically at the beginning of your piece in a town where a CAFO is expanding. Can you tell us where that town was in Wisconsin and what did they say about the situation in their community?
Yeah, so they are located in Ledgeview, Wisconsin, which is very close to Green Bay. Ledgeview is one of those residential suburban communities that we see in Wisconsin that's growing a lot. It's a suburb and encroaching upon that mainly agricultural land. One thing that was really interesting with the woman I spoke to in Ledgeview, she was very familiar with agriculture and grew up with family members who were farming. But when moving to Ledgeview, she was expecting to kind of live next to a farm, which was fine. But when it was a farm of thousands of cows, that becomes an issue due to manure runoff. When there's a lot of animal waste that gets spread on fields or collected, it can cause problems.
What types of laws are in place protecting or regulating these CAFOs that there's this debate about right now?
Wisconsin has a permitting process through the Department of Natural Resources where if you are a farm of over a certain amount of animal units, you will be considered a concentrated animal feeding operation, and you have to get certain permits due to wastewater and manure runoff and things like that. The state also has the Wisconsin Livestock Siting Law, which it was created in 2004. It essentially sets blanket state standards for how agricultural facilities are zoned. It prevents local governments from denying that expansion and provide a statewide set of rules for all local governments to adopt.
It seems like the towns and residents really don't want the dairy farms to expand, but with fewer small farms operating, it seems like these expansion efforts are only going to become more prevalent. Is that the case?
Well, the dairy industry has been consolidating for the past 20 years in Wisconsin, and the farms that are sticking around are getting bigger. Looking at what the dairy industry is and does when it comes to products and that consolidation that I had mentioned earlier, it's a business decision. You know, I definitely have talked to a lot of farmers who say that they are just doing what they have to do to sort of survive in the industry. And a lot of the times that means that they have to get bigger. And when you get bigger, these problems can happen.
Have there been any towns or residents that have been successful in stopping the rapid growth of these CAFOs or farms?
There have definitely been some communities in the western part of Wisconsin that have gotten creative with how they approach this. And this is an ongoing dispute on the western side of Wisconsin in communities around like Polk County and communities in Eureka and Lake Town, Wisconsin. So these smaller municipalities adopted a operational ordinance. It included language about waste and odor and tracking of nitrogen and animal waste runoff and things of that nature. And this has more recently turned into another legal dispute on the western side of the state. So, I mean, there are some towns that have been successful in getting creative with how they approach this.
John McCracken, you can read his piece at Investigate Midwest. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and Rob Menser. We're back in your podcast feed tomorrow morning with another episode of the latest news. So until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.